This season of The Ones Who Succeed is brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning platform with over 20,000 classes in business, marketing, technology, design, and more. You can take classes in social media marketing, video editing, entrepreneurship, you name it, they've got it. So whether you're trying to deepen your professional skill set, start a side hustle, or just explore a new passion, Skillshare is there to keep you learning and thriving. So join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today, because Skillshare is offering the Ones Who Succeed listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes all for free. To sign up, go to skillshare.com/succeed. Again, that's skillshare.com/succeed. That link is how they know we, the Ones Who Succeed, sent you to start your first 2 months now. That link is also in the description of this podcast, and a special thanks to Skillshare for sponsoring the show. Welcome back to the show. I'm Campbell Barron. And today on the podcast, I have a conversation with a very interesting woman. Her name is Stacy Brown Philpott, and she currently serves as the CEO of TaskRabbit. For those of you who do not know what TaskRabbit does, TaskRabbit is an online and mobile marketplace that matches freelance laborers with local demand. Essentially, let's say I want someone to assemble my newly purchased IKEA bed. All I have to do is go on TaskRabbit, and it will connect me with a tasker who is willing to assemble my newly purchased IKEA bed. And interestingly enough, in 2017, TaskRabbit was acquired by, well, IKEA. But that's besides the point. Stacy joined TaskRabbit in 2013 as their COO, Chief Operating Officer, and is a big reason why TaskRabbit is so successful today. She started her career in tech working at Google and was later in charge of consumer and ad sales operations for Google India. And Silicon Valley is not known for being a very diverse place. In fact, only 11% of executive positions in Silicon Valley are occupied by females. And only 2% of females in Silicon Valley are African American. Stacy is in that 2%. However, throughout her time at Google, she has and is working to change that, which is why I was excited to talk to her. Hi, my name is Campbell Barron, and I'm a 15-year-old entrepreneur and content creator from Toronto, Canada. And you are listening to my podcast, The Ones Who Succeed, where each week I meet with inspiring individuals and talk to them about their journey to success.
Part of working in a company is the relationships that you build with the people. Focus and do a good job, but also build relationships with the people that you're working with.
Hear their stories, experiences, and firsthand what it took to succeed in their field. Why am I doing this? Because I want to learn from the ones who succeed. And you can too. Okay, so I met Stacy at the TaskRabbit head office in San Francisco, California, and my conversation with her starts at the very beginning, her childhood. Stacy grew up in Detroit in the early 80s, and if you don't already know, Detroit in the early 80s was not in the best shape. Its golden days from the auto industry were over, and it was heading towards a major economic downturn. However, despite these challenges, Stacy still had many positive things to say.
You know, growing up in Detroit was fun. It was community, it was life, it was my childhood. Mm-hmm. And everybody's childhood is, you know, whatever that experience is for them. And for us, it was about community. I grew up with a single mom who sacrificed a lot to take care of me and my brother. And she always focused on our education. But in the process, it wasn't easy. Life wasn't easy all the time. And because of those sacrifices, we had to sacrifice things too. So I definitely learned a lot about grit and perseverance, and how to see the future as a brighter place that I could be a part of and I can help shape.
Were you driven at a young age?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I was one of those people who always had a life plan.
Mm-hmm.
And for most of my childhood, I sort of knew what I wanted. And it started with when I was in middle school, I wanted to win the spelling bee. When I was in high school, I wanted to join the majorettes. Yeah. When I was in college, I, you know, met my husband. He tried to break up with me, and I didn't let him do that. So we got married, and we've been married for 18 years. But I do remember a distinct moment when I was 14
mm-hmm.
that I sort of said my life is to be as successful as I can, to do something that makes the world better, and to be able to provide for my family. And I've always kind of held that as an important sort of value and motivator for what I've done.
What would your definition of success be when you were 15 or growing up?
So 15, my honest definition of success was I really wanted a Coach bag, and I couldn't afford the one that I wanted. And so I set about making sure that I could go to college, graduate, get a job, and buy my own things. And my 15-year-old self would be very proud that I can do that today. Mm-hmm. I think when I got older, success was achieving something beyond my own potential, right? Maybe that Coach bag was out of reach at the time, and there's the potential for me to do so much more. And it's just the process of achieving something beyond my own potential is mm-hmm. probably how I would define success today.
So what is the story behind your career in technology? You've spent the majority of your career in tech, right? So what's the story behind getting into Silicon Valley?
Well, as much as I had a life plan, I actually didn't plan to get into tech.
Okay.
So when I was 14, I didn't know what tech was. I didn't know mm-hmm. what engineers were. I didn't know what they did. I didn't know anything about technology. Mm-hmm. I didn't get my first computer when I was 7. So when I talk to people who are 14 now, I'm like, well, what should I do? Should I do what you did? I was like, no, because there's all these things that are going to be created that you don't even know about yet. So let's be open to the possibilities. So as much as I had a plan for my life, things changed, and I opened myself up to that change. My career started in finance. I figured 14 years old, I can go work in business, and that's going to help me to become successful. So I became an accountant. After college, I went to college at Penn, and then I became an investment banker at Goldman Sachs. And then I came to the West Coast to go to business school at Stanford. And what really drove that was 1999 being one of the biggest tech booms of our time
mm-hmm.
and really seeing all these companies creating so much value. And yet they didn't have revenues yet. And I was a banker who did the numbers. I was a finance person. So really seeking to understand that. So after spending 2 years at the GSB at Stanford in business school, I decided to work in tech. And I discover now what engineers really do. But I wasn't an engineer. I didn't study engineering. I studied mm-hmm. finance and accounting. And so I started my career in tech as a finance person at Google. Mm-hmm. And I joined Google because it was a great company. It was a small company. It was only 1,000 people. They weren't public yet. But it was just this interesting place. And I met 13 great people in one day for That's all awesome. My interviews. Yeah. And felt like this is an amazing place that I can grow and learn. So I spent 10 years there, and that's how I got immersed into the tech industry.
And what was your role at Google?
Well, I started as a financial analyst. And a lot of people think you graduate from business school, you should be an executive. You should go be the CEO of the company right now. And so to me, to get an analyst title for the job, I was like, whoa, I didn't go to business school to be an analyst. But the reality is that it wasn't about the title. It was about the opportunity mm-hmm. and it was about the role.
While at Google, Stacy worked her way up the ranks and eventually landed in Hyderabad, India, and was in charge of consumer and ad sales operations. And eventually she moved back to California and was an executive in residence at Google Ventures. So Silicon Valley has a history of having a very male demographic, as you are probably aware of. You are both female and African-American. Have you noticed changes in terms of diversity in Silicon Valley throughout your career?
Absolutely. Some of the change, I believe in being the change that you want to see. And I got a kick in the pants about doing that while I was at Google. Mm-hmm. I was, sitting around thinking there weren't a whole lot of people that looked like me in the company. And this was I don't know, many, many years ago. Let's just say many, many years ago, at least 10. And I thought, well, there's lots of senior leaders in the company. I was still a manager level in the company who can fix this problem. And I went to Sheryl Sandberg and said, you know, I think we should address the diversity issue here. You're already doing some things with women. You know, we need to focus on African Americans. And she looked at me and said, you're the person that should do it. You're the person with the ideas. You're the next level generation of leadership. You're African American. You can actually make it happen. And so I set about being the change that I want to see and starting a Black Googler network. And that the network has grown to be lots of people today at Google, and it's lived on after I left in an important employee resource group for them.
So if you don't already know, the Black Googler network focuses on empowering the Black community at Google and beyond. They give back to the community, participate in local nonprofits, and are widely credited with contributing to the diversity solution in Silicon Valley.
But I see now today that more and more leaders are being the change that they want to see. And it's not just the women, and it's not just underrepresented minorities, but we're having allies now across the entire industry who have recognized the importance of diversity, the importance of making sure that people can bring their whole self to work, the importance of how our products have to reflect the populations mm-hmm. that we serve. And so at TaskRabbit, we're happy that, you know, 58% of our leadership team are women. That was not by accident. Yeah. That was intentional.
In 2012, you left the company.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you decide to do that?
It was time. I grew up professionally at Google, and I looked around. I was in that office. I had my dog. He had his own bed. I had an assistant. I had a table and a couch. I had pretty much what most people growing up in my neighborhood would have dreamed, more than what they could have dreamed about for mm-hmm. their life and for their career. But I really felt like my purpose was no longer being fulfilled. And there was someplace else to continue to fulfill my purpose. And so it was time for me to graduate and move on in my career to do something that was next for me. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't about what I left at Google. It was about what I was going to, which was fulfilling the mission of TaskRabbit, making everyday life easier for everyday people.
And how did you end up at TaskRabbit?
In my exploration phase, I found TaskRabbit. I had met Leah, the founder of the company, when my first daughter was about 6 months old. And someone introduced us and they said, oh, this girl started this company and it's about helping people find help around the house. And I was a new mom and I was excited to like be a new mom. Actually, she was not 6 months. She was 6 weeks old. She was much younger than that. She was only a few weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was scared of taking her out of the house. You just don't know what's mm-hmm. going to happen next. So I tried the service and I loved it. And then fast forward a year, I was now an executive in residence at Google Ventures. And I was in the same building as TaskRabbit.
Yeah.
And coming into the building, I said, oh, you know what? I wonder what Leah is up to and what the company is doing. And as I started to spend time with her, I really fell in love with the mission. I love the mission of Google. But as I'd grown at Google, I was sort of in this great place, floor to ceiling windows, great office, but I wasn't fulfilling my full purpose anymore. Mm-hmm. And in spending time with Leah, I discovered what that was, which was our mission is to make everyday life easier for everyday people. And that took me back to my roots in Detroit, mm-hmm. where I had a chance to think about how do we create economic opportunities for people who didn't have them, people who lost their jobs in the auto industry and can use this technology to find work. So I found my new purpose and my new mission, and that's how I came to TaskRabbit.
And you joined originally as their chief operating officer.
That's right.
What was your mandate going into that position?
Wow. It was, you know, a chief operating officer is different at every company.
Mm-hmm.
And the mandate for TaskRabbit was to scale the company.
Yeah.
They had been around for a few years already. The founder had brought the company to a very good place. We were in 9 cities at the time, and they wanted somebody to come in who could bring discipline, strategy, focus, and ultimately scale mm-hmm. to the business. So I came in and figured out that there's a lot of things that we're doing well, a lot of things that we need to improve on, and then set about the business of making that happen.
So I read that when you became the chief executive officer, you said that it was the position you always wanted. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, it was the CEO of TaskRabbit was the position that I always wanted. And it, I didn't know I wanted it until the opportunity came. I love our mission and what we do. And if I had a chance to advance the mission, this was going to be a great way for me to do that. So becoming a CEO anywhere isn't what I always wanted, because I believe that people should put their whole heart and their whole passion into something that they love to do, regardless of what the title is. And then if you get the title of the CEO, then really go forward and really make it happen. And because I love the mission so much, I really want TaskRabbit to be everywhere. Every city, every store, every device, and really be help for life for people all over the world someday. And so I felt as CEO, I'd be able to carry that vision forward.
Can you think of any challenges you faced while you were as the CEO? Any like specific ones?
Well, the challenges have pretty much not changed that much from COO to to CEO. I think coming in as a COO in a company that has a very strong culture, there was the challenge of figuring out, how do I really take the best of what TaskRabbit had to offer and then bring that to more people in the world and really preserve the culture and bring that to more employees that we would ultimately hire, and do it by growing the people who were on the team. Yeah. And so it was a big leadership challenge. Along the way, we encountered a product challenge, which was that the product that we had was not one that was scale. The product that we had was one that a lot of people liked to use, but sometimes it wasn't good. So we had to make some really hard decisions to change the product to one that would not just scale, but people would love to use and tell their friends about. And that was a decision that we made as an executive team, but I had to lead the team through that decision as well.
Coming up, how a partnership with IKEA and TaskRabbit eventually turned into an acquisition. This is The Ones Who Succeed. I'm Campbell Barron. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a brief word from our sponsor. This season of The Ones Who Succeed is brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community with over 20,000 classes in business, marketing, technology, design, and more. You can take classes in social media marketing, video editing, entrepreneurship, you name it, they've got it. So whether you're trying to deepen your professional skill set, start a side hustle, or just explore a new passion, Skillshare is there to keep you learning and thriving. So join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today, because Skillshare is offering the first 250 people who click the link in the description 2 months of unlimited access to over 20,000 classes all for free. To sign up, go to skillshare.com/succeed. Again, that's skillshare.com/succeed to start your first 2 months now. And a special thanks to Skillshare for sponsoring this season. Welcome back to the show. I am your host, Campbell Barron. So as TaskRabbit continued to scale, something interesting happened. In 2017, the furniture giant IKEA acquired the company. So I asked Stacey about it. How did that happen? How did that opportunity, did TaskRabbit position themselves for sale? Did IKEA approach them? How did that work?
Yeah, it started as a partnership. IKEA came to do a tour in Silicon Valley, and they met several companies, including TaskRabbit, actually right in this room that we're in right now. And, you know, we shared a lot of stories around meeting the customers where they are. They were on a journey to figure out how to meet more customer needs and really go grow beyond the DIY customer and to a younger demographic in terms of millennials, but also not everybody wants to put the furniture together. And we said, well, here's how many people have used TaskRabbit to put the furniture together. And it blew their minds in terms of the numbers. So we embarked on a process by which we said, well, how could we work closely together? And that yielded a partnership that we launched in London in one store, where you could request assembly services through TaskRabbit in that store. And that was successful. And the success of that expanded the partnership to more stores. And as we continued to show success in the partnership, we started to have acquisition conversations. And so ultimately, we announced an acquisition a year ago and really bringing the companies together. Our cultures matched. Their mission is to create a better everyday life for the many people. So it's a very similar thing in terms of bringing life at home and making life at home easier, better, and more convenient. So the culture match was there. The partnership was successful. It just made sense at some point to just merge and join.
Not every acquisition ends well for the company, that for either party.
Mm-hmm.
But a year later, it's working well. How involved is IKEA in this process?
Yeah, it's working well because, number one, we set up a structure to allow TaskRabbit to run, to be independent, which means that we can set our strategy and our vision and really draw upon the resources from IKEA that we need. It's also working well because we both have a growth mindset. We knew it wasn't going to be perfect from the beginning, and both IKEA and TaskRabbit are committed to making sure that we continue to get better. And so what's changed? Our mission hasn't changed. My vision for the company hasn't changed. We've got a whole lot more people. We've tripled the size of the company. Our volumes have grown. Our monthly booking volume is up 60%. The number of people who use TaskRabbit to get IKEA furniture assembled has increased from like 2% to 10%. So the metrics are like off the charts. But what's the same is that we still value caring about our taskers and our clients. We still value our mission of creating a trusted go-to network to bring you help for life. And we've got this partner and parent company in IKEA that cares about the same thing.
Can you think back throughout your career in general, in both tech and finance? Can you think of any funny experiences you had?
I can tell you a funny experience of when I moved to India. I love Ben and Jerry's chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And moving to India for a year meant that there's some things you get, like wonderful, tasty Indian food, but there's some things that you give up, like maybe Ben and Jerry's ice cream, because I didn't know they had it. But they opened a grocery store right before I moved to Hyderabad that had American things. And one of the things they had was Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And so on a weekend one day, I decided that I was going to go to the grocery store and get myself some chocolate chip cookie dough, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, which is not traditional. When you're an expat, mm-hmm. there's people who go do your shopping for you, and it's just culturally accepted that this is how things are done. And so I get in the car and I'm like, take me to the store, like take me to the store. And we get to the store, I get my ice cream, I come back, and everyone is like, what are you doing? And like the guy who was doing in charge on my shopping, like he almost got fired. They're like, he's the wrong person for the job, all these things. And I was like, no, don't fire him. He's amazing. And they're like, but why did you go to the store and get your own Ben and Jerry's ice cream? And I just said, I really wanted Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And that was when I realized that culture matters.
It's a big difference.
It's a big difference. The culture in this country, you have to get on board with that, Stacey, if you're going to live here and be successful here. And so I never went and got my Ben & Jerry's ice cream anymore because I love the people who supported me during my time there. And I learned mm-hmm. a whole lot about how when you go somewhere else, you can't just take your own culture with you. But the culture in that place absolutely matters.
A lot of these people, some of them are listening to this podcast thinking CEO, you know, the chief everything officer.
Mm-hmm.
What are your day-to-day tasks at TaskRabbit?
Yeah, it is everything. I always come to work every day knowing something unexpected is going to happen. Sometimes the unexpected is good, which is, you know, the board, our TaskRabbit board sent us flowers on our 10-year anniversary just to say congratulations. Mm-hmm. And they sent them to all the offices. That was really fun. Or I got on the phone with one of our oldest, longest standing taskers from Boston and just spent 20 minutes on the phone with him between tasks when he was about to paint somebody's house. And, mm-hmm. you know, he was so happy that I called him and I was so happy that he answered the phone and he spent 20 minutes on the phone with me. So I kind of seek and know that there's going to be something unpredictable, but I spend a lot of time in meetings. At this point of the company, we're growing and we're scaling. I just want to make sure we have great leaders who understand the vision, who understand the strategy, and who have what they need to be successful and growing the company. And so I spend a lot of time in one-on-one meetings doing that. I also spend time on TaskRabbit for Good. It started as a personal project, and now it's a part of the company. It's really our effort to build sustainable and compassionate communities by focusing on homelessness and in the environment. And so I spend a lot of time making sure that that mission is advanced. How do we extend the TaskRabbit platform to really impact local communities and work with nonprofits who are doing the same thing? And that's really fun too.
You talked about being driven at a young age when you were, let's say, 15 and when you were a kid. If you can go back and talk to your 15-year-old self, what advice would you give?
Oh, boy. What advice would she give me is what I wonder. But, my 15-year-old self, I would say, stay focused. You know, she was very focused. She was very motivated to achieve something more. She was very proud that her mom had sacrificed so much, and she didn't want to let her down. So stay focused, but also recognize that relationships do matter. I had my first internship right before I went to college, and I worked at Ford Motor Company, and it was an accounts payable because I was going to be an accountant when I graduated. And I was in charge of filing papers from like one file cabinet to another. That's what I did pretty much the whole summer. And I was really good at it. And people think, oh, I can't believe all you did was father. I wanted to like crush that job, really do a good job. And one day my manager halfway through the internship said, Stacy, you're doing a great job, but you don't talk to anybody. You don't go to lunch with anybody. You don't talk to anybody. Part of working in a company is the relationships that you build with the people.
Interesting.
Focus and do a good job, but also build relationships with the people that you're working with.
So you've spent your career in a bunch of different sectors at various companies. Mm-hmm. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Wow. So TaskRabbit just celebrated our 10-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. And, in Silicon Valley terms, that is a long time to be around. We have 140,000 taskers in our community. They've earned over $140 million. We've saved over 4 million hours of time for our clients. And I think we're just only at the beginning. Last year, we were acquired by IKEA, and we now have this great opportunity to bring the TaskRabbit mission and vision everywhere. So I think that's what I'll be doing, because we're not done. We're still not done making everyday life easier for everyday people, and that's my purpose today.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you, Stacy, for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too. Ladies and gents, that is my conversation with Stacy Brown Philpott, the CEO of TaskRabbit. And before you go, please do check out the Ones Who Succeed YouTube channel. We have cool shorter video episodes, and our episode with Stacy is out now, so you can see what I look like, you can see what Stacy looks like, you can see what the TaskRabbit office looks like, all while viewing an exciting combination of the interview mixed with some cool graphics. It's pretty much a guaranteed good time. That link is in the description of this podcast, or you can search up the Ones Who Succeed on YouTube. And to find our YouTube channel directly, enter the URL www.bit.ly/succeedyoutube. There's no caps in that URL, by the way. Also, our podcast does not live under a rock. We have Instagram, we have Twitter, and you should follow us on both. We are at The Ones Who Succeed on Instagram and at Ones Who Succeed on Twitter. We also have a website, which is a big hub for all the content we produce, so swing by there once in a while. You can find our site at www.theoneswhosucceed.com. Again, that's www.theoneswhosucceed.com. This show is produced by me and my mom, Lily Yurksevich. Our theme music is by Alta, and our ad music is by Anders Nilsson. Additional music by Holly Marr. Our executive producer is Robert Barron, and thanks again to Skillshare for sponsoring the show. As well, special thanks to Lily Yurksevich, Robert Barron, Sophia Yurksevich, Jackie Burns, Steph Matisse, Brittany Benson, Amelia McClare, and of course, Stacy Brown Philpott. I am Campbell Barron. Here are some scenes from next week's episode of The Ones Who Succeed. Next week, I chat with billionaire venture capitalist and university founder, Tim Draper, who told me that the way we are schooled is not creating heroes.
You're schooled to be a follower. You're schooled to stay safe. you're not schooled to take risks. You're not schooled to take that first step to do something extraordinary. You're not schooled to go running into the fire to save the people that are in the fire.
Tim's solution to education and his venture capital career is on next week's episode of The Ones Who Succeed. Until then, take it easy.